All right, this morning, the first and second service, we're going to look at just something to get our minds back on some basic truths. Call it beyond superstition. What do I call it? Beyond superstition. Your opinion of God. Now, for example, there are many of us, myself included, who were born in religious homes. And so from a child, they are driven into you, even against your will, the fear of God. And so we grew up that way. So, you know, that was driven into you, and so you have the fear of God. And coming with that fear of God are several fears of God. Most of the time, it's probably one ignorant daddy who was birthed by an ignorant daddy, who was born by another ignorant daddy, and probably the second ignorant daddy was probably an idol worshiper. So, ignorant daddy, 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 daddy. Maybe till the children of Israel or something. So you find out that somehow many of us have retained that in our hearts. So that even when you come to church and you hear God's word, somewhere in your mind, those things that you have adopted have become a part of you. Just like the conscience. The conscience is your own making. The conscience is your own making. Conscience is a function of your consciousness. Whatever information you put in your mind become your conscience. Anyway, that's not my teaching today. So, look at Job 42 verse 5. That's what a place to pick your first text from. But I'm going to ensure I'm not going to pick it from there. But let's just look. Job 42 and verse 5. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see thee. Before we go further, just go to Luke 24. And verse 25. Now, remember, this was when Jesus rose from the dead, and he met his own disciple on the road to Emmaus. Okay, so... there was a conversation about his death. And his own disciples, made it appear like Jesus was a martyr. Yeah, because look at what they said in verse 19 concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And we trusted, verse 21, that it had been he that redeemed Israel. And besides this, all this, today is the third day since these things were done. So they made it appear like he was killed for what he believed, or he was killed for what he did. They didn't understand who he was. Now, in verse 25, he corrected them, then he said to them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. He says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Then 27 says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So, these people had the Bible in those days, that's Genesis and Malachi, but they didn't really understand what the Bible, you know, promised, what the Bible spoke of, what the Bible carried. They didn't have an understanding of what it was. Or not Christ, that is, they couldn't, because he asked them what you can call a rhetorical question. Didn't you see it? That everything that I did was in fulfillment of the scriptures. Then, in verse 44, where I'm really going, this was after, again, he appeared to the other ones, that the 12, including Peter. And then he showed himself alive to them. You know, they touched his body in verse 39. They touched him. They touched me. I'm not spirit in the sense that I'm not a ghost. You know, you can touch me. And they touched him. And after he did that, in verse 44, the Bible says, he said unto them, this Luke speaking, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, what's it now? Concerning me. Now, so this is, you know, this is exactly what he did earlier on to the other two. Is that right? Come on, talk to me. Now, notice the importance of what he just did. Can we take verse 45 together? Let's go. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scripture. Now, was that the first time that they will read the scriptures? No. Obviously, they had been reading the scriptures. But he opened their understanding. I believe last week, I explained to you that the word opened is the word anigo. It means to launch. To use something for the first time. So for the first time, their minds, alright, he opened their understanding. Now the first word understanding is the word nohus, thinking. So that last week, thinking. So for the very first time, they thought in line with the scriptures. For the first time. Now, they have been reading it, they have been quoting from it, they have been preaching from it, alright, but for the very first time, their mind, you know, is just the same way some of us, probably, you hated mathematics. You hated mathematics. My dad told me the story of, he got to secondary school, and all his teachers, most of his teachers were not Nigerians, they were British. Britons. And so, he said, for the first few weeks, he didn't hear anything they were saying. He was packing his bags and planning to go back to our little London, our hometown, where he was local champion. He said, what? I'm going to be an abysmal failure here. You know, but a friend of his now sat him down and then helped him. And so, for the first time, he attended a class and he enjoyed it. That's for the very first time. You have been there, you have been hearing it, you have been speaking, you have been doing this, but it doesn't mean you understand. There are some of us that we fought mathematics till we said, it's not my destiny. But someone now helped you. You know, there are some guys that are geniuses, really. They're just good at it. Someone now helped you to see it. So, wow. That first time is the anigo, the very first time. Oh, this is it. So this was the very first time that these fellows saw the true meaning of the scriptures. So he opened their thinking that they might understand. The second one, understand, is the word shirinemi. You know that already. It means to put the facts together. So, for the first time, they saw the whole book as a singular revelation. For the first time. For the very first time. So, that means, pay attention, Jesus corrected their thinking. Is that right? Is that right? So, for the first time, their thinking was now in line with the scriptures. So it's possible to be quoting the scriptures and even knowing the memory verses, but your thinking is wrong. Very wrong. And so, He opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. That's the first thing he did. So for the first time, they could relate the different books of the Bible with each other. For the first time. Now, when that was done, look at 46. Verse 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. So, can we say it together that verse 46 was the summary of the explanation he gave to them? Come on. Come on. So, that means the Christ revelation is the revelation of the Old Testament. The Christ revelation is a revelation of the Old Testament. Until the Old Testament reveals Christ and his truths, you are reading a storybook. The book is about Jesus Christ, or the book was written about Jesus Christ. There are things in there that are not about him, but the focus of the book ought to be Jesus. Now, when he did that, and he showed them that, that he will suffer and rise from the dead the third day, then verse 47 says, and repentance. Pay attention now. Repentance. Now, notice, why was he killed? Come on now, that's basic. Why was he killed? For our sins. Why did he rise from the dead? For the same reason. So, if he says that repentance and remission of sins. Now, if you say repentance and remission of sins, you are either going to say repentance plus remission of sins. Or repentance, which is remission of sins. Pay attention now. Now, verse 46 was about what? Look at verse 46. Was verse 46 for remission of sins? Verse 46, was it for remission of sins? Very good. Verse 25, 26, and 27, was it for remission of sins? Huh? Very good. So, repentance will be what? The word repentance, now, repentance, some of us say, repent! Some of us say, change your ways. That guy has repented. So what does repentance say? He used to have Jerry curls on his head. That's not you. Now, he has skin cut like yours. He has repented. No, that's not repentance. That's a change of hair cut. That's just what you have done. You can change your what you wear without repentance. And there are many people who change what they wore. I did. But didn't change any other thing but what they wore. But the word repentance, again, is the word metanoi. Now, meta is M-E-T-A. M-E-T-A means to turn around or to shift. Right? To shift. To turn around or to shift. Now, the word noi, where you have N-O-I-A, is the same word we just examined a few minutes ago in verse 45. The word thinking. Nohus. N-O-U-S. So I say, why are you mentioning many Greek words? Now look up, let me explain this again to you. Oftentimes when we talk like this, some guys are either put off, cut off, or angry. The English language, which you and I speak today, is less than 800 years old. In fact, technically it's about 600 years old. Which means that in Bible times, what we call Bible time, the book of Acts. And about 1,000 years after that, they were using English to teach Christ. So, English was just one of the translations that emerged in the last 1,000 years. However, the original letters were written in the language that was used in those days for the intellectuals, which is the Greek language. So most of the time, or many times, not most, let's take that back, in translating from one language to another, some meanings might be lost. Because in those days, the King James, for example, was 1611. The grammar of the English language, as has been revealed over 15 times since 1611. Over 15 times. Which means that in those days, the only word they could have used for both nohus and sunemai is the word understand and understanding. Are you following what I'm saying? That was the word available then. Now, repentance today was not repentance then. Language has evolved. But the understanding or the word in the Greek is metanoi, which means a change of thinking. A change of thinking. So let me ask you, did Jesus just gave, did the disciples, just have a change of thinking? Did they? Come on, did they? Now, a change of thinking about what? About themselves or about the scriptures? Very fine. So always realize what I just said now. A change of thinking is not about you. The repentance is about God, His Word. So the repentance is about God. So it says repentance, in other words, a change of thinking, and the thinking is what? Remission of sins. So in other words, people will see God in a way they had not before now. Is it very clear? Is it very clear? Now, look at something. Romans chapter 2. So, the repentance in verse 47, is it a repentance of your behavior or repentance of the scriptures? Very good. Now, go to Romans 2. Watch this. Verse 1. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou had judges. For wherein thou judges another, thou condemn thyself, for thou that judgest dost the same things. Verse 2. We are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Now let's read verse 4 together. Verse 4, let's go, verse 4. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads to what? Now pay attention there. It says, not knowing that what? The goodness of God leads to what? Now, notice the word not knowing is the word agnoheo, A-G-N-O-E. Which means when you put negative on knowledge, that is, knowledge you don't know. That is, these people did not know. What did they not know? They did not know the kindness of God. The kindness of God, pay attention, they did not know the kindness of God. Leads to what? Repentance. What is repentance again? A change of thinking. So, that means, in their knowledge, they had the wrong facts about God. They had the wrong facts about God. But the goodness of God, not knowing that the goodness of God leads to what? Repentance, that is a change of thinking. Of thinking about yourself or thinking about God. So, the repentance is about who? It's about God. To change how you see God. Notice this, it says, by His kindness. So, God's kindness is for people to have a change of thinking about Him. In other words, people have a distorted view about God. It mentions his long suffering and his patience, his forbearance. So man is the one that changes his mindset about God. Remember, I explained this to you in Law in Genesis and in earlier teachings as well, that the first thing he asked Adam was, who told you that you were naked? Because from the very inception, we found a wrong idea about God. He ran to God. He heard his voice. He ran. So who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree that I asked you not to eat? So many times it's, who told you? How did you get to that conclusion? Who told you? So, people's wrong impression about God has created many religions in the world today. Remember in Genesis 3, what the serpent told the woman was, has God said, thou shalt not eat of every tree of the garden? She said, well, I said we should not even touch the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which wasn't in the statement made earlier on. It didn't say don't touch it, don't eat. And then he said, you shall not surely die. That's the first thing the serpent said. After that, you shall not surely die. In other words, one of the greatest weapons of the enemy is your ignorance. Your ignorance about God is an arsenal. Why did I say that? Let me take that back. Your ignorance of God is a weapon. Your ignorance about God is a weapon. Because you don't know. Not knowing, the same way the disciples were ignorant of the scripture. They had the scriptures, but they were ignorant of it. They didn't know the message in there. Not knowing. And ignorance has built religions. Ignorance has built churches. Movements. Not knowing. So, right in the Old Testament books, we'll see a few now, we'll find this ignorance in the hearts of men. Whatever will be. Say, it is not the will of God, it won't happen. It is the will of God. Nothing. Nobody can stop it. Nobody. Nobody. Yeah, and we think those things is praise worship. Ah. If you know Brother Lekong, don't try him. When he decides to do away with you, that's all. Wow. Just like God. So is that beyond superstition? Where did you learn that from? Praise the Lord. So watch this. So notice in Romans 2:4, it says not knowing, which is what agno means. Agno is willful ignorance. That means there will be knowledge. A refusal to know is agno here, many times, not all the time. A refusal to know. Not knowing that the goodness of God leads men to repent. Look at John 5. So, how did Jesus make his disciples understand the scriptures? By explaining himself. Are you there? So, Jesus is not just the character of the scriptures, he is the explanation. He is the light of the scriptures. This simple statement is the greatest need of many denominations and many religions. Jesus is the light. You are never told to trust in Moses. You are never told to trust Abraham or trust Job. You are never told to trust Esther, who is the queen mother of many Christian sisters. You are not told to trust Isaiah or Elijah or Elisha. You are told to trust in Christ. How many don't get that? Look at John 5. So he is the explanation. John 5. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. You will not come to me that you may have life. He says, he's talking to professors of the Holy Scriptures, the Old Testament. Guys who have PhD, LLD, ODD, on the Old Testament. I've met a couple of people like that. They are grounded and grinded in the Old Testament books. Praise the Lord. I have Bible studies with them from the Old Testament. Grounded and grinded. He says, you cite the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they who testify of me. Anybody who is wise enough should have known that the prophets did not testify of themselves. It was very clear in their language that they always spoke about another. All of them consistently. Are you still there? Look at this now. Look at verse 45. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, Moses, whom you what? Trust. Can you imagine? The word is Elpizo, E-L-P-I-Z-O. Moses that you are hoping for. So Moses whom you trust. That's why you are quoting him the way you are quoting him. Look at what he says in verse 45, 46. For have you believed Moses? Not have you believed in Moses. Had you believed what he said, you would have believed me. For he wrote of me. Hallelujah. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Praise the Lord. So these were people who didn't have the correct impression of God. Because if you miss Christ, you miss God. Are you there? The moment you miss Christ, you miss God. So, that was a major issue. His knowledge was available in Moses' writings. The moment you miss Christ like this, as you miss Christ, you miss God. Christ is not a part two of God. No, part one, then part two. No. That's God in man. The moment you miss Christ, you miss God. Look at Exodus 20. And that understanding has pervaded many people. Exodus 20. And verse 5. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, a jealous God. That is jealous God. That is a jealous God. I can. Jealous God. What do you mean by jealous? Hey, jealous. Jealousy can't be a positive word. Isn't that true? So we need to realize, again, it's a language issue. What do you mean jealous God? Now, the term jealous here is exclusive to Moses. He used it exclusively, the term jealous, in here. That's Let's see where he mentions the same word, jealous. Exodus 34. And verse 14, two times here. You shall worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. How is it? He said his name is jealous. Two times. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 9. That's just repeating Exodus 20, so let's leave that. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 15, that said, he exclusively used that word. 15. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against you and destroy thee from the off the face of the earth. Wow. Jealous God. Why did he say that? Why did he say that? Now, the word there has to do with someone who is affectionate. Affectionate. That's what it means. Who is affectionate. And so Moses used it on his own. That is affectionate about his own. Who has affection exclusively on his own. That's what it means. It's a jealous God. Means that he's one who loves alone. Is passionate and zealous. Because the same word has a cognate called the zealous. The zealous God. Not jealous like envy in that term. No. Who is affectionate in what he owns, or what he is affectionate towards what he owns. That's what he meant. So, when he called him a jealous God, see what he says afterwards. Exodus 20. Exodus 20 and verse 5. Visiting, wow. It looks like it's a jealous God visiting the iniquity. The way outright visiting is that if you, and you know, we read in English, if your grandfather was an idol worshiper, we will now count four generations after. One, two, three, four. So by the time you look at yourself, my great-great-grandfather was a Catholic priest. He can't affect me. You know, which is not true. Now the point is this, and see, many people misquote what he was saying. Because he uses the word pakad, which is to visit, P-A-Q-A-D, in the Hebrew. Pakad was never used up to this point for imputing sin or punishing people. Let's see where pakad was used. Before this point, by Moses, Genesis 21 verse 1. The Lord visited, please look at your Bible, look at it. Don't make sense to you. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Genesis 21 verse 21. He visited Sarah. Genesis 39 verse 4. Genesis 39 and verse 4. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him what? Overseer. That's the word visit. Overseer. To take charge of something. Are you there? So, To visit means to take care of something, to take charge. So the Lord your God is jealous. He will take care. Is it making sense now? Are you there? He will visit. He will take care. That's what to visit now. Let's see other places it's used. Pakad, Genesis chapter 40, verse 4. The captain of the guard charged Joseph with them and served him. And they continued to season the word. He charged Joseph with them. And he served them. And he continued to season the word. He took care of Joseph. Let's see another place. Genesis 50, verse 24. God will surely visit you and bring you out of his land unto the land which he swore to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. Verse 25. Saying, God will surely visit you. So, up to this point, does visit resemble punishment? I'm asking a question. What's it? To take care of something or to be in charge of it. Is that very clear? Okay, let's see other places used before now. Exodus 3 verse 16. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. Say more back. Exodus 4:31. The Lord had visited the children of Israel that he had looked upon their affliction. Exodus 4 verse 31. Exodus 13 verse 19. God will surely visit you, the B part, and you will carry up my bones away from hence with you. That's Moses. Says this is what Joseph said. So up till now, did the word visit imply punishment? What does it imply? To take care of something. Come on. Huh? Come on, are we together? Are we together here? To take care of something. So by the time you read it, now this is exclusive to Moses. Now Isaiah uses it in two ways, both for punishment and also for care. But Moses used the word visit exclusively for taking charge or taking care of. So get back to Exodus 20. Are you learning something? Are you learning something, church? Alright, verse 5. Visiting, so he's a jealous God. What's jealous again? Affectionate about his own. So how does he show that affection? By taking care. Come on. Are you there? Taking charge of the iniquity. The iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the toil and thought of them that hate me, and showing mercy to thousands of them that love me, and keeping my commandments. So he's showing God's mercifulness or God's redemptive nature. Not a vengeful or judgmental stand. Now look at something. I want you to make an observation. Look at Numbers 14. This was when the whole Israel rebelled against God. They all rebelled against God. I remember I told her, I was speaking with a guy who, interestingly, was a deliverance minister. So they were into all this breaking generational curses, family altar, and all this crap. Many of you have never heard it before. Please don't hear it. Don't, you know. So he said, no, he didn't think so. That he felt the word visiting actually means to impute sin. So now let me ask you, And this is very objective. I asked him, I said, did you observe that what you are even saying literally didn't happen? That when the children of Israel, that is, when those who left Egypt, rebelled against Moses or against the word and didn't believe the gospel, that the Lord said, those who will not enter the promised land will not include their children. That is, what you're saying, assuming it is so, did not even happen. Because their children, I'm not talking about the third and fourth generation, the very first generation, were excluded. So that guy was looking at the Bible. So check it again. You are just prying on the ignorance of people, asking them to come to your services, to come and claim the sins of the... How can I be responsible for my grandfather's sins? I didn't even see it. You get the point. Some are even changing their surnames. You are just being superstitious. Don't change your surname. Now put Jesus in the middle. You are confused. You are believing the lie. Now, look at this Numbers 14. I want us to read together now. Let's go. The Lord. Come on. Let's go. Numbers 14 verse 18. Yeah, I'm right. Let's go. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing. What does he do? This is in the iniquities of the father, upon the children, and upon the third. So, what is that visiting? Forgiveness, great mercy, come on, and long-suffering. Is it clear? Now look at the next verse. Verse 19, let's go. Pardon I beseech thee, the iniquity of these people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven these people from Egypt open until now. Hallelujah. So, a scripture meant to preach the forgiveness of God has been used superstitiously for deliverance from generational curses. Some people even tell you, some people who are supposed to be knowledgeable say, that's the Old Testament. No, please, don't get it wrong. Go read it very well. So, was Moses talking about God imputing sin or God forgiving sin? So the next time someone mentions that verse for generational curses, tell him you are about to visit him. Hallelujah. Look at verse 29. Look at it. 29. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. This is because of their unbelief. And all that were numbered of you according to your own number, from 20 years old and upward. That means if you are 19, you go scot-free. You just came age. No, that was not my real age. Just, you just do Nigeria's declaration of age. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Which have mourned against me. Doubtless. What is that? He says the little children were not involved. So, whatever people are preaching from that verse, it was not even applicable to the Israel. Praise the Lord. How would you visit people? That means that if you sin now, anything, your children will bear the cost. Anything. Does it make any sense? Does it make any sense? A scripture was talking about God's love and kindness, but superstition in our minds. Do you know, the Yoruba version is so interesting. I checked it. Because they tried to interpret it in English. That is,
lovely. That is, I will look at it and take care of it.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Beyond superstition. Are you there?
In your head, you've been trying to get a job since you finished graduation. After you moved from copper to gold, you changed your khaki to t-shirt. You're trying to apply. You say, what was your father's profession? He said, my father, he was a medical doctor. It's possible that he did some abortions. And those blood are standing against you now. You know, there are some things that are easy when they don't involve blood. The moment blood is involved, the blood of Jesus just moves away for a greater blood. Beyond superstition. Yeah, just superstitious. That's all. Hallelujah. Are you following this? Psalm 103. It makes it worse when you now go to church and they preach superstition to you. When a gay lady reaches the age of 24 and no brother is looking her way, there is a spirit following her. And when the same ladies start to fornicate, there's another spirit to that one. I thought the first spirit is just guesswork. Many pastors are just guessing. They are just guessing. He might be God. He might be God. He might be God. Are you there? Psalm 103. Praise the Lord. Verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and precious is mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he always keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us, verse 10, after our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquities. Let's take verse 11 together. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, as so far as he removed our transgression from us, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 3. Who forgives all thine iniquities and heals all thy diseases? He makes no distinction. Hallelujah. Realize that. So many times, people have carried even their wrong opinion of God from the scriptures. Look at Jonah. Jonah was a prophet who was sent to Nineveh. Jonah. Interestingly, what many people know about Jonah is more of his sleep than the truth that is in that book. Jonah 2. Now, you realize that he was in the belly of the whale. So he went to Nineveh to preach. Let's start from Judah 1:2. Arise, go to Nineveh and the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Cry against it. So Jonah found himself in a ship. He was going to Tarshish. So those guys threw him back, threw him in the water and all that. You know the story. And so he found himself in the mouth of a whale, on the belly of the whale. Jonah 1:17 says a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. That's interesting. Tell us 2 verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. You see that? Now he himself was told to go to Nineveh. He was on his way to Tarshish. He was in the belly of the whale, and he prayed to God. And he said in verse 2, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, that he heard me out of the belly of hell, Hades, Sheol. Cried I, and thou heard my voice, and thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas. The floors compassed about, all thy billows and the waves pass over me. I'm cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward the holy temple. The word has compassed me about to the soul. This is a prophecy about Jesus. Then he says in verse 6, I went to the bottom of the mountains. The earth without Abbas was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption. O Lord my God. He's still right there in the belly of the world. He's speaking as though he's out. Praise God. Are you there? When my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came to the holy temple. That they that observe lying mercies forsake their own, vanities forsake their own wonders. Mercy. Lying vanities there means emptiness. What is empty? Are you there? Lying. Look at the word lying. Lying means false report in the Hebrew. Lying. The word vanity is the word ebel. H-E-B-L. It means emptiness. The moment you observe lying vanities, false reports, you heard they said this about God. Someone said, well, someone is sick, said, it's God that is trying you, and you believe it. Those who observe lying vanities, they forsake their own mercies. There are many lying vanities that we have believed. Are you there? Lying vanities. Reports. Sometimes you read it. If I, as a lawyer, if you draft a contract, they call some things force majeure. And one of the things that is the acts of God. You, as a man of God, you have to write it there. Earthquake, thunder, unforeseeable circumstances. It happens. See, that's acts of God. And you believe it. So God is judging. He's judging people. When you see somebody, why is that pain? As committed as it is. See how we see the kind of things happening in his business. See his body. See his sickness. It must be something. God is sending a message across to him. You said that because somebody said that, and somebody said that, and somebody said that. Lying vanities. He says they forsake their own mercies. Hallelujah. Look at verse 9. But I'll sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I'll pay that I vow. Salvation is of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory. That word salvation is of the Lord, just one word, is the word Yeshua. Same word for Jesus. Jehovah is salvation. Can you imagine? That is our mercy. Anything different from Yeshua is Lord. Or Jehovah is salvation is a lying vanity. God can only save. That's his job. That's his character. He's not found in destruction. Now, having said this, the same Jonah now went to Nineveh. The same person. In chapter 3. To preach. As he rose. In verse 4, he cried, 40 days the Nineveh shall be overthrown. Verse 4, can you see? The same person that just said, salvation is the Lord. There are many preachers, in their lives, they enjoy the goodness of God, but they preach something else. That's because they want to put people in perpetual awe and torment. Because if you remove the vengeance of God from people's sermons, their members will leave their church. Here's an example here, Jonah. In his life, he had seen how in the belly of the whale, he confessed God's goodness. And he came out. That I know that Yeshua is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Then the same guy now goes to Nineveh. Pack up, pack up. Pack up! Repent or perish. You shall perish. The same person. Are you following this? And then the people of Nineveh proclaimed a fast. And all that. You just read on. And then verse 10 says, God saw their works. And they turned from the evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And did it not.
These are the words of the Old Testament. When you hear God change his mind, he's a prophet.
Are you following my point? He's the prophet.
This is a prelude to our teaching we're going to do. That'll be next week.
Yes.
Not this week, next week. From Tuesday to Saturday. Law and Prophets 2B.
No, there's 2B this year a lot.
2B. We want to go into some prophets and put some, and mark their scripts. You know, we did for Jonah earlier on. We've done some from Isaiah. We'll pick some from Psalms. And then some, just correct their script. Mark them 4 over 10, 2 over 10. Sound like Elijah is 0 over 10. Elijah is 0.002. Are you there? Don't get angry, okay?
Chapter 4, verse 1. But it now displeased Jonah exceedingly, abundantly. He was very angry. Then he said, Lord, was not this my saying? When I was yet in my country, that is before I left. This is why I didn't want to come. Therefore I fled before the Tarshish, for I knew you,
my gracious God.
Merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, repented thee of their evil. I know. Therefore now beseech thee, my life from thee. It's better for me to die than to live.
Jonah is feeling bad that his words will not come to pass. What shame do I now? Why do I not praise them? I've told them they will die in 10 days. But you are gracious. You want my ministry to crumble in this country? You have told men that they need to do 7 things before they get to heaven. You are now saying that no, it's not heaven at last, it's heaven at first. So why do I protect my, I've built this ministry for 40 years. 40 years in ministry. Lord, just let me, I can't face them. All these boys writing books all over Nigeria. Just finding market for us.
I said, boys, that's what I said.
What, this is not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair. I pray to them, is your name in the book of life?
The next time anybody says that, you say, ask the person about, is your own name there?
Jonah is angry. He's angry because God is not angry.
Look at verse 4. The Lord said, doest thou well to be angry?
Now why are you angry? Imagine God asking you, why are you angry?
Then he said, look here.
He gave him a parable. And he told him in verse 9, doest thou well to be angry for the God? He said, I do well to be angry even unto death.
Thou hast had pity, verse 10, on the God, for the which thou hast not labored, neither had made it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. Should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherewithin are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between right and left, and also much cattle?
Hallelujah.
He's angry that God is not angry.
Some people, the reason why they oppose any message that preaches the grace of God is because of their own integrity. They know in their heart. Because if you don't know that God is gracious, you will not be perpetuating some things you are doing in your church. Let me leave that. You won't. It's gracious.
Slow to anger. So there are things we have believed, assumptions, that we just thought. This God must do this. Some of us think that God must reflect your character. When I'm angry, he must be angry. When I'm sad, he must be sad. Sorry, sad. It's not like that. So Christ Jesus comes to explain in clarity the truth about God. John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now, that term, the Word, is a Greek word, logos, which means explanation or summation or thought or an idea. And he says the same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He says in Him. Now, at that point, he's describing the Old Testament before the incarnation. In Him was life. The life was the light of men. That means the character of God in the Old Testament can only be seen in Christ. Whatever was said about Christ in the Old Testament, that was the character of God. The light was the life of men. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but he only came to bear witness of the light, that true light, which lighted every man, verse 9, that cometh into the world. He was in the world. The world was made by him, but the world did not know him. He came unto his own, verse 12, verse 11, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on him. Now listen carefully. That shows that in the Old Testament, you will find God in the Logos. In the Logos. The first time you will see Him and recognize Him will be when He became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Verse 14. And we beheld, talking about those who saw Him in the four Gospels, as of one only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. So, Jesus is the explanation of God. He explains the character of God to us. Whatever is not found in Christ can never be found in God. You can't separate the two personalities. Whatever Jesus came to show us is all that the Father is. I'll take that again. If you miss Christ, you miss God. Whatever is not found in Christ can be found in God. He is the Logos, the explanation. He is not the senior prophet of the Bible. No. He is the explanation of God. He corrects every impression that we must have had from different characters of the Old Testament. He is not one of them. He is their message. Hallelujah. He's not an addition to all the prophets. No. He is the promise that they gave. He is the light that they shone. They showed, pardon me. Look at Job 42 again. Tell me if it is not Christ, it can't be God. Oh, come on now, say loud. If it's not Christ, it can't be God. Say it again, if it's not Christ, it can't be God. Say it again, if it's not Christ, it can't be God. For it to be God, it has to be Christ. Job 42. You learning something here? Job. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you.
after how many chapters? Some of the things he said are some people's confession today. They use his words even in burial ceremonies. What do you mean? I've heard thee by the hearing of the ear. The word there is Shema. To hear a gist. To hear some people are talking about. I've heard you around. I've heard of you around. What my grandmother told me. What my mother told me. Some of you have that thing in your mind. How many of you leave your grandmother here? Okay, my own grandmother lived with us. You think they are very experienced with God because they are old. So they'll tell you stories. That is God. And they will teach you. I mean, I believe this is for many of us. We were first taught to pray by our parents. Some of them hardly read their Bibles, but they'll be praying. Because I wonder, my dad would lead us to pray. And the prayers were systematically stereotyped. Oh God, thank you for yesterday. We thank you for today and we thank you for tomorrow that has not come. First and foremost, before we approach you, we are not worthy, we are not meat, we are not fish. We are not this. We are sinners by nature. We are sinners by nature. We eat sin like food, we drink it like water. Take your blood right now and wash us. Clean. The things we have done, the things we are yet to do, the ones we are planning to do, the things we are going to do. You know? So, he says all that. Then, you know, he goes on and on. So, that is what some of us heard. Rumors. I've heard thee by the hearing of the ear. Now, look at the things, and the word is from the word Shama, S-H-A-M-A, which means someone that is famous. What many of us know about God is not different from blogs. When some Christians talk, eventually, what they will say and what Muslims will say, they will have homologia. You will eventually agree on the same thing. That God knew that if I have a car, I will have accident. That's why he gave me Marwa. Okay. God knew. You are not different from a Muslim. Go and wear turban. God is God. I tried to enter Unilag. ONU. UI. They didn't release my result. When they released it, I admitted this can't be my result. See the school I'm in. I thank God now. I'm a Saints Community Church. I didn't say anything. I didn't give you any impression at all. How would you be second guessing? You are just guessing. Did God put on your clothes for you this morning? You wore your colors yourself. It's obvious. You picked your colors. She was a dear sister of ours in those days. She was so spooky. She said, the spirit. She said, the spirit of God chooses clothes. And because she was highly rated, then you won't say anything. When I see the clothes she wears, I'm sure it's a spirit that picked it. It takes a spirit. You know, if you post that kind of picture on Instagram, the thing will blow. You know, it's a God. Just as, you know, and it's just a rumor you have heard that if it doesn't work, it's because it's not of God. If it works, it is God. Okay. So if a man sins, it's because God is God. Everything is God's doing. If I slap you now, you know it's God. The minute I slap you, it's God. If I can't do it, it's not God. If I do it, whatever he wants to do. Nobody, oh, who can battle with the Lord? Nobody.
So you want to say to people, we're scared. Who can battle with the Lord? Nobody. Who can battle with the Lord? Nobody. Nobody.
Ignoramus.
Look at Job. A great guy. Very good in church.
He has finished Bible schools.
Nice fellow. Verse 1 says he was a upright man. Job 1:1. Feared God. Eschewed evil. He wasn't doing bad things. He always wore white.
Before he said anything, he said, bless you, Sean Die. It is well. He's a lovely fellow. The fact that you are lovely, nice, is not good enough. It's not good enough. Look at verse 5.
It was so when the days of the feasting were gone about, Job sent and sanctified them, his children now, and rose up early in the morning.
I don't know if you're doing devotion in your homes in those days.
Early in the morning.
Pray. You pour oil. Drink this. Every morning. Say, ah! My father knows the Lord.
He says, and offered burnt offering according to the number of them all.
They will allow you to go out in the morning. Come here. Kule. Pray for you. Be well with your father. God, tell me today, in Jesus' name, every evil on the road, whether it is in Okada, whether it is in Lord, you go before him, you sanctify him.
Amen. Wait. Okay? In Jesus' name.
That's what he was doing. You know, you see that, you say, Daddy loves the Lord.
He's close to God. Every day.
Someone will be waking their children up every day with the phone. Bam, bam. You have not prayed today.
He was doing it continually. Why? For Job said, it may be,
can you see the rumors?
That my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.
Can you see it? I've heard it by the hearing.
His knowledge of God was a gist. He heard around. And he was a good guy. He won't steal money in his office. He said, resume at 8 o'clock, Job will be there by 6. Why was he doing it? See, he was a self-righteous fellow. That's what he was. Self-righteous. Because, and he did this continually, every day, he's committed, very faithful. Father,
brethren, that's your father saying, brethren, can you imagine? At the moment you offend him, the next minute, he said, come here, brethren, one day I asked my mother, I said, every time we are in morning devotion, daddy always says, we are all sinners. None of us is perfect. Then why does he punish us?
Get quiet,
this stupid boy.
You always say we are all sinners. We sin. So what then do you pick on us?
I wasn't allowed to express myself. Anyway,
continually. Before you know it, Jacob,
look, my pastor gave us some combo. Not in this church. I know, you know. What we give you here is tongues for this course. That's what we give you.
Say, so, man, give us combo and Bible. Okay? Combo. Come. No! You have to come. And they travel down to bring a bottle to you. You say, she loves the Lord. No. Don't ever use things like that to qualify people working with God. They go to prayer mountain, praying out of fear. This wife that Bode is looking for, all these manu water spirits, let them not enter his home.
I can see that lady always wearing jeans. Father, destabilize them. They can be there 3 days. That is deep. Deep? He did this continually. Job never knew God. Is it clear? He was living in assumption.
Look at chapter 1 again. Verse 21. The Lord gave, the Lord taketh. You know, if you are saying the Lord gave, the Lord take. The Lord has given, the Lord has taken. You think he's complaining? The Lord has given. You can say, shut up your mouth. Don't say, blessed be. He puts thanksgiving on it. And he says, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. That is why you are called Jehovah. That is why you are called. In everything, beginning things. He said, in everything, not for everything. How can you begin to test for everything? You are able to do. Somebody died. You are able to do. The blessed be the name of the Lord. Chapter 2. Says chapter 3. No, chapter 2, verse 10. The wife in verse 9 said, curse God and die, guy. What kind of a stupid human is this? Somebody is doing you evil. As if somebody is doing you evil, is it cursing him that makes sense? That is a silly person. Look at the next verse. Thou speaks as one of the foolish women speaks. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? Shall we not receive evil? Is living by what? Assumption. The reason why he did no sin was because he did not know. Not because what he said was right. Look at chapter 3. Verse 24. For my signs come up before I eat. I can't even eat, I have to pray. That's what they say. You start with people food, they say, please, we have not prayed. Why are you afraid? Your wife cooked. We have not prayed. But your own wife. Say, Adonai. A friend of mine like that. He doesn't need to pray over food. He will be singing. The first day he did it, I was looking. By the second time, then we call him Shadow. I just took the yam. Amen, amen. He can walk before it enters. He can walk when it has entered. Would the prayer be less powerful if I'm already eating it? My God, I'm hungry. I'm too hungry for all these Job ministries. You know? My Lord is a poured like water before he says, hope God is not angry with you. For the thing which I greatly feared, can you see? He's come upon me. That which I feared, he's come upon me. That means the point was, the fear he had was the fear that God will harm him. Because that was what he was told. Look at verse 26. Let's say 26 together. I was not in sit, neither had I rest. Neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. Always praying. By 12 o'clock. Turn down. Someone told me that. 12 o'clock. If she wakes up 12 o'clock, she's afraid. Because they told her, 12 is when you hit. When that's when the iron is hot. You hit the spirit of darkness. That's the time they meet. Are you so gullible? At least you went to primary school, secondary school, university. You know, who went to university, the went to university. This is someone has traveled abroad, though. Gone all over the world. And you know that if you leave Nigeria to Ghana, 12 is 1. If you go to America, it depends on which part. 12 can be 6 a.m. Australia, maybe 10 a.m. I mean, 10 p.m. Singapore is about the same thing. And then someone tells you in the spirit world,
12 meat. And you say, hey, tell us to be praying. How stupid are you? Say, by 12, you shall pray. Let's just pray. If you miss your, don't get me wrong, bro. If you miss your morning devotion, pray in the afternoon. Don't say, the day has spoiled. It's as though there's somebody you go to before the day starts. You have to give him. Just take your prayer. Make sure there's no accident. Make sure my boss is not angry with me. Take your prayer.
Yeah.
Go, my son. You're just superstitious. Someone that does not live in time. Say, hey, maybe you are fasting. No, don't get it. Don't. So to me, sir. Oh, I took guli guli. I said, drink water. And start fasting. Eh? God, don't give me ulcer. That's superstition. Are you following my point? Said I was not in safety. That means all his prayer points is afraid. You are not praying out of faith. You are praying out of fear. So that's why some of us gave money to all these false prophets and fake ministers of the gospel out of fear. So the Lord is saying here, if you want your tomorrow to be secure, there's a seed called seed for secured prosperity. For eternal abundance. Or seed for manifestation of uncommon grace. For undeniable increase. You know, usually you don't understand English. You say, ooh! Ooh! Now, do you know that you can't go to, the reason why you go out for something like that, because you are afraid. Some people that even have money are still afraid that, hey, this person was 419. He lost all his money. He also lost money in his business. He said, let me secure this thing. Then you come out. You are afraid. That's why the moment you hear God's word, that God has no such demands on you, you now stop giving. Because you were always giving to your fears. Say, ah! Thank God, oh! You were not a giver. You were just a fearful person. See? Cankerworm. You don't even know what cankerworm is, though. You don't know. But when you hear cankerworm, worm, hey, hey! You don't know the meaning of. The devourer. Hey! You are afraid of something that you can't see. The devourer will just enter your business. So, your 10%, you like this. And you are collecting your salary grudgingly. This, your deepest and this is your God. Don't take it there, no. Just make sure there's nothing more for me. That was what Job was. He said, I have heard of thee. So he was living by rumors. Superstition. You get up in the morning and then your car broke down. Port Milan Bridge. Then, just about the time you're trying to repair your car, they call you from home. The generator just goes, what's going on? What's going on? What did I do yesterday? I watched a Chelsea game. Why did I watch that game? Why did I they're in the office. Said there is a meeting that should hold by 9:45 of Premier Language. There is a chairman. He just came to the country. He wants to see you. Sick. Go to dot the I's and cross the T's. You are only being superstitious. First of all, repair your car. Common sense, just repair your car. Or take Uber. Those are saying, what's going on? Nothing is going on. Your car broke down. You're in trouble. And I went to the office. Don't make conjectures. Don't get superstitious. Why? Then are you not seeing? Because there is a spirit that is sucking blood. That spirit is called bad governance. When you want to vote for leaders, we remove our brain. That's it. Bad governance. So, many things, many of us have believed about God were gathered information. Things you heard people say, things some people have told you, things you imagined, some terrible dreams that came to pass, now formed your opinion of God. Have you discovered that what many of us think about God is not different from idol worshippers or Muslims? It's the same belief system. It's just that your own has Bible verses. See? You have to know Him beyond superstition. Because the moment you do not know the source of evil, you'll be talking to the wrong person. And the moment you call supernatural what is just natural, there's nothing that happens in the realm that does not happen in the spirit. What's the meaning of that? Did you fail your exam in the spirit? Whatever happens in the natural realm has happened in the spirit, the realm of the spirit. Did you write any exam in the spirit? You did not read. That's what happened and you failed. It has happened in the spirit realm. Simple do business normally. You spend time in church praying. I connect. I disconnect. Jesus. Go and do your negotiation. And make sure your head is there. You don't think your head should be there. Your head is there. If I want to do business with you, you say, let us pray. I say, for what? I just commit this in the hand of God. I'm already committed that. Don't blackmail me. By the time we are praying, don't want me to think straight. No, we are not praying. I pray when I left home. How much is it? I'm not buying it. Let's commit in the hand of God. There's nothing to be committed. This one is in our own hands. Don't get superstitious. And that is why, like the African continent, we are so backwards. So backward. You want to do exam, you are doing exam prayer day. What is the meaning of that? Exam prayer day, then there's one guy, he said he makes first class. He wants to lay hands on you have first class. Did they lay hands on him? You will find Christians do business seminars of things they learn from unbelievers. You don't get it? What he's teaching? I say, let me tell you something. Jacob, he learned it from Bill Gates. Did Bill Gates attend your church? He's not a good businessman. Oh, he's not a good businessman. Okay. My two most important mentors in business are Muslims. Not where are. This is where are. My best lecturers in school were not Christians. But the Christians were the ones I didn't like. Sometimes they just say, don't come and teach lazily. They teach well. And you learn. Praise God. I told someone this. I was his pastor in 97. I said, you are going to school. If the devil gives you knowledge, take it. Say, extra! Devil. I said, I'm only saying. You want to pass in that school? It's not by meditation of scriptures. You meditate upon your class work. Say, yes, sir. The more you pray, the less you might know. They are just superstitious. Say, Holy Spirit, give me the answers. Give me the question. How would you do? Don't be superstitious. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? Some of us, rather than put some things in place in the natural, we are thinking something is supernatural happening. It's not supernatural, it's just natural. Are you following my point? Know God beyond superstition. Things you think, things you imagine, things you are guessing. You are only guessing. Don't guess. Are you there? John 1. So if it is not Christ, it can't be God. If it's not Christ, then it cannot be God. Excuse me. And the Word was made flesh, John 1:14, and dwelt among us. Can we say, and God was made flesh? Is that correct? And God was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld His glory. The glory of, as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, if you see God, you will die. Says who? Unbelievers, the devil slapped him. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. They slapped, they chased him. They didn't die. You want to change your confession? If it is not Christ, it cannot be who? Did they slap Jesus? Did they slap Jesus? Did they slap God? You see? I got you. Did they slap God? Not really. There's a God in your mind. Did they slap God? Did God become a man? Did they slap God? Did they abuse him? Did they die? Nothing happened. Are you there? Look at verse 15. John bore witness of him, saying, this was he of whom I speak. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness of all we received was that grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses. The nomos was given by Moses. Nomos. That is, nomos means to do something. Requirements. Regulations. Grace and truth. Praise God. Grace which is the truth. The Holy Spirit. Grace which is to freely give without condition, which is the truth, came by Jesus. The word came here, it means to exist as Jesus. So, in one word, describe the character of God. Huh? In one word here, describe the character of God, grace. Grace is not a doctrine. Grace is the character of God. He always gives. Wherever you find someone taking, alright, he wants something from you. It's not God. Anywhere a demand is made that is not from a supply that the power made, then that's not God. That's not God. If it is not found in Christ, it's not God. Does it make sense? Look at verse 18. Let's take verse 18 together. No man, everybody come, let's go. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had what? No man. So, people can just be second guessing. No man has seen God at any time. That is up till this point. This was the first time human beings can clearly define the character of God. Was no second guessing. No man has seen God. But the only begotten of the Father, the word there is monogenoa, you know that. M-O-N-O-G-E-N-N-A-O. Which is the same word in John 1:14, John 3:16. That is, he came from God. Which is in the bosom. Now look at the word bosom. The word bosom is the word kolpos, K-O-L-P-O-S. It's actually like a descriptive terminology.
In Luke 6:38, it says, shall men give unto your bosom good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. In Luke 16:22 and 23, you read about Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. Now, when you hear that, it simply means that something close to your chest. It was, the word corpus was used for something we call, like we use chest pocket. Something very close to your heart. That is, when we see you, we see that thing. That is, you cannot separate them. Close to the chest, corpus, which is in the bosom of the Father. That is, you will see Him and see the Father. You will see the Father and you will see Him. The same thing in John 13:23, John the Beloved, who put his head on the chest of Jesus. That is, you will see them together. So what John is saying is that the only begotten of the Father, he said, who is in the bosom of the Father, you cannot separate Him and the Father. As you see Him, you see who? Say, no one has seen God at any time. Save who? The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he says, He has declared Him. So the fondness that Jesus had with the Father is such that you will see Him as the very heart of the Father. This is the very heart of God. This is the very heart of God. This is the very expression of God. He said, He has declared Him. Look at the word declare. The word declare is the word exegomai, E-X-E-G-E-O-M-A-I. E-X-E-G-E-O-M-A-I. This was a term used by the rabbis to teach and to explain. To teach and to explain. It was used by the rabbis to teach and to explain. Luke 24 verse 35 was used when Jesus taught his own disciples. 35. They told what things was done to relate an event to others. Acts 10:8. Acts 15:2. Write this down, please. Acts 10:8. Acts 15:2. Acts 15:14. And Acts 21:19. Acts 10:8. Acts 15:2. Acts 15:14. Acts 21:19. To explain an event, to relate something well. So Jesus is the explanation of who? God. He relates God to us perfectly. Moses did not have this kind of office. Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, none of them, not Abraham. Nobody had this kind of function. Only Christ, who is God Himself. He did not come to talk about God. He's God that came to reveal God as man. Does it make sense to you? He's not a third party witness. He is the witness of Himself. You know, it's not like you talking to you about myself, talking to you, to me about yourself. Then I say, no, I don't think that is what you are. You know, you think I'm not okay. He's the Logos of God. Whatever is not found in Him can never be found in God. So it is God explained to man. Christ, and you know, there was no better way to explain to a man than to be a man yourself. He explained man to man. God explained God to man as man. He brought Himself, listen carefully now, to man's understanding. That shows, I'm going to explain what I'll do in the second service. That shows us that it is an insult to call God mysterious. It's the height of ignorance and disservice to call God mysterious. The only reason you will call God mysterious is if you don't have faith in the gospel. If you believe truly that a man came and died for our sins and God was the one who became flesh, then you will never call God mysterious. It doesn't get simpler than that. So take away your superstitions about God. We'll see that in the second service. You are only second guessing. Maybe it's God. I think it has to be God. Not any different, like I said earlier, than an idol worshiper, or a Muslim, or even an atheist. You must have faith in Christ. Christ is God explained.
I say it like this. Is a meeting point between God and man. Christ. In him, all the distortions are cleared out. All the, you see, maybe God can do evil, I can do good. When he's angry, he does evil. When he's angry, he does good. Christ explains all that away and takes away that confusion in your mind. Because he didn't come as a prophet. He came as the message. And glory to God is still the message. It's the light that we have. It's the truth about God that we have today. Are you following this? In Luke 9, let's close on this one. That was why in Luke 9, Luke chapter 9, his disciples were returning with him in Luke chapter 9, verse 54. And of course, some folks did not allow them to pass through a particular village. And then they said, Lord, will thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elijah did? That's 2 Kings 1:10. They were quoting scriptures. Fire! That Elijah and Elisha. I'll talk about them in second service. It's just funny that they have become the role models of some people. Said, would you not just let's command down fire to destroy them, to consume people? Because in your impression, if somebody opposes you, you destroy him. That's the character of God. No wonder James says, don't be double-minded. So let him ask of God. If any lack wisdom, James 1:5, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and does not find fault. Let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. That is, you will not be double-minded. Because the moment you have a double-mindedness of God, it will reflect in your own character. You will also be good and evil, angry and nice at the same time. Because your opinion of God influences your own character. If you that will command fire from heaven. And Jesus said to them, he rebuked them in verse 55. The same way he rebuked the wind, the same way he rebuked demons. You know not what manner of spirit you are of. Verse 56. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save. Hallelujah. So God does not destroy. How do we know? Christ is God explained. Said that the day he was captured, or he was arrested, pardon me, and Peter drew out a sword and cut the ears of Malchus. I say it like this: if Jesus had allowed that to stay, we have no excuse today. The tongue took the ear of Malchus, put it back in his place. So he had 100% record, not one single evil in his ministry, not one single day. 100% clean record. And that's God. This is Malchus that came to arrest him. Whose ear should he have cut? Said Peter, I don't live by the sword. Hallelujah. I don't live by the sword. The greatest revelation of God is that he is the Lamb that was crucified for our sin. What we call weakness was his strength. What we call strength is man's weakness. Beyond superstition, you need to know God and know him in Christ. Are you blessed this morning? Oh, you'll be